Hello, hello, hello. I'm Jamila Perez, and welcome to A Dose of Reality Show podcast. And in this podcast, we will be real, unscripted, and at times, real raw. We will have stories of real life, including my own. These stories might have you laughing, crying, inspire, and even motivate you on your daily walk in life. So come with me on this journey while working, having your coffee, or even while you're washing those darn dishes, right? Can't wait for you to listen in, and I'll see you there. Bye. Hello, 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 and welcome back to A Dose of Reality Show. And my name is Jamila, and I'm your host. And welcome back to another episode. And I'm so excited today because I am going, I brought on a new guest here and a very special guest. Her name is Nikki Scott. And just a little bit of how I got a hold of her. I found a series that she was doing on Instagram where she says, and I wrote it down because I'm like, I need to say it right. So her series is called Things You Didn't Know Till You Had to Know series, right? And I found it very interesting how she started with these series. And I'm going to have her explain a little bit about how she started, what's her story. But I reached out to her and I asked her if she can come on because I think this is something that our listeners need to know, because we're never prepared. We will never be prepared for anything like life after death kind of thing, for like our spouses or children or our family members. And it's something like for me, for example, right now, that's what I'm going through right now, trying to get everything set, because it's a lot, especially with elderly parents that I have at this moment. We're trying to figure all this out. And when I heard this series and how she was explaining, I was like, oh, I need to write this down because I need to also add that onto my to-do list, right? So thank you so much, Nikki, for coming on. And if you can please let the audience know like who you are, what you do, and what this series has meant for you, and why did you start it?
Yeah, so my name is Nikki Scott, and my husband passed away almost three years ago now. And
I'm so sorry.
And after he passed, we didn't have any will, any trust, or anything in order. So everything went to probate and everything got divided up and things like that. But I'm a barber by trade. So as I was going through the process, I would tell my customers, I'm like, hey, do you know that if you don't have a will, you got to go and do this, and then you got to do this. And they're like, oh, wow, you know, I didn't know that. Or I would talk to a friend and they're like, oh, you're still dealing with that stuff? I thought it was over a long time ago. And I'm like, oh, no, baby. I was like, courts and lawyers and everything like that stuff takes a long time. And so your grieving kind of takes a back seat because of your to-do list. And so my son and I were at the park back in February, and I had just started my Instagram page, and I have different businesses. I wrote a book and I am a real estate investor. So I have all these things, but I was like, what do I really want my Instagram to be about? Put on there, you know? So we went down to the park one day and I was like, you know what? And I was like, let's talk about things that people just have no idea that happens when somebody dies. And so I started making the videos, and then it just started going viral. So I was like, oh my goodness, like people really need this information. So
yes.
As I go out, somebody would ask a question, or it would just kind of start snowballing. And so it just kind of, everything, the steps that you go through when somebody passes away, because it's not cut and dry, and every situation is going to be different and every state is going to be different. But a lot of the videos gives you the right things to ask, the right or better questions to ask versus not having any questions. So I'm trying to help people learn the process. And then a couple of people started videoing or asking me, like, hey, I have a friend that's going through this. What can I do for her? Or my husband just passed away yesterday. What do I need to do? You know? And so it just kind of became this community now.
Wow. And so with all this, how did it like transform? Like what kind of tips did you start giving people? What do you do first? Because I know I saw one of if you have you need to set a will, and what's the difference between a will and a trust, because there's so many different things. What kind of tips would you tell others that are listening to that are going through this same situation at this moment? They don't even know where to even start. Like, where would they even start?
So my husband was 45 when he passed away, and I was 38. And so we saying, oh, we're going to go and take care of this one day, and oh, we're going to take care of it. So I'm a huge advocate to I don't care. But as you get married, you need to see an estate attorney at the same time. Like, make sure that it is all together. And then if you're aging, make sure that as you've added assets and you've changed them, that you make sure you go and you see your estate planner. Because when somebody passes away and their estate is not in order, that causes so many family fights. It causes a long time before you can get the assets, a lot of court fees that could have been avoided. So I always tell people, you know, don't put it off till tomorrow. Make sure your life insurance covers what you need today, not when you got it. And make sure that and a trust, because sometimes you need both. Like, I have a minor child, so I have to have both. The will in my estate covers where my son is going to go, and then my trust covers where my assets go.
Okay. So the trust is mostly for assets, and the will is mostly like for children, for anything like that.
Your will can have so many different things in it, but essentially, it's not going to protect you from family fighting because it can be contested. And it doesn't save you from taxes if you're being left in a state or anything like that. But people can put it in a will. But a trust is better if you have assets, because if you
Okay.
get protection over it. And then the will is better when you have children to tell them who's going to take care of those children and things like that. But I'm not an estate attorney, so I want to make sure I. So, please check with your estate attorney to find out what's better for you and your situation. But
Okay.
definitely want to have something in place. And it, you know, like if you're an only child and you're going to inherit anything anyway, you know, you may not want to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars getting your assets in line all the time. It may be a simple fix that your attorney can do versus huge trusts and wills and things like that.
Okay. And I know there was some videos that you mentioned regarding like what to do, like regarding the plot, or what would you recommend regarding that tip from the plot?
So whenever somebody passes away, if they're going to be buried and you buy the plot at the time that you need it, they charge more an at cost need versus if you plan for it. So like every cemetery is going to be different, but their at need cost is going to be added in. So if you know, okay, I want to be buried and I want to be in this area, it's better to go and buy that plot now. That way you don't have. And then, you know, with the property value going up, you actually get a deed for that piece of property that you buy. It's a real estate piece of property that you own once you buy the plot. You know, so land is going up, so are plots. And because it's a value kind of standpoint for them. It's a business. It is. So if
Wow.
you know that your parents want to be in this cemetery, and if you bought it today, it's going to be cheaper than if you bought it next year or if you buy it when they actually pass away.
Okay. Now, so for you, because all this happened, was it just something you were unexpected kind of thing, and that's why you were like pretty much thrown out there, like trying to figure everything out at the same time? Like, did you have any help like through this whole situation, or you pretty much did this on your own?
There's no guidance whatsoever. His company sent me a like a widow's guide that was through his company, like to make sure that you called the HR, to make sure you called these things. But there's actually nothing out there that I came across that was like, hey, you need to go and do this, or this is going to happen, or anything like that, because it is so different. There's not a lot of resources out there, so you just kind of braille your way through everything and hope that you did it all.
Wow. And you might even miss things because you don't know, right?
That's why, like, I was just when I did the voting one the other day, I was at my bank and my banker and I were talking, and I was like, did you take your husband off the voting list when he passed? And she was like, was I supposed to? I was like, yeah. And so, like, it's literally things that you just don't know. It just keeps.
I wouldn't have known about the voting thing. I would have been like, what? What do you mean?
List of things to do, and it's so unimportant to you. But the worst thing that could happen is you find out your husband voted in an election that is impossible for him to do. And then when they say stuff, they're always like, well, you didn't take him off the voter history list. Well, I didn't know I was supposed to do that. There's not a book that says you have to do this.
Oh my goodness.
It's crazy.
Wow.
But his company had a life insurance policy through his company. And when he set up the policy, the lawyers, they don't tell you, okay, well, if you actually pass away, this is what's going to happen, So he left money to our minor child. And when he left money to him in the state of Georgia, if it's over a certain amount of money, you have to get conservatorship over them. Have to get the financial conservatorship over the child, because even though you physically take care of them, that doesn't mean that the judge is going to allow you to take care of their finances. And so you have to go and get approved to be in charge of your child's finances after they pass away, after your husband passed away. And that's where my video series started, was me getting the conservatorship of him and spending thousands of dollars to get the conservatorship, spending hundreds of dollars every time I needed to use it, and just the fees that were associated with it. But when he set it up, they were just like, oh, do you want to leave anything to your children? And he's like, oh, yeah, sure. Because they don't go over.
So interesting. So for life insurance, because I have life insurance at work and I have like beneficiary, my husband and my kids. So God forbid something happens to me, the kids stuff, my husband will have to deal with the conservatorship stuff. Oh no.
If they're minors, and then if you're depending on how much your state is versus how much they're getting. So you want to make sure you check all that, because I was just going to leave the money in there till he was 18. And I was like, forget it. I'm not going to mess with it. I'm not going to go to courts a second time, because I had to go to probate first, and then was after that. And so I was like, I'm not going to pay all that money to get this money. It's not worth it. Well, then my lawyer, she was like, well, what happens if that life insurance company goes out of business before he's 18? I was like,
That's true.
oh, what happens? She was like, hey, money's gone. She was like, so you want to make sure that you're in charge of that money. So I was like, oh. And but of course, she got paid for the fight with the conservator. But yeah, don't leave
Wow.
about it being in a trust, or again, take legal advice over what's best in your situation, financial advice, all that kind of stuff. Because just because your husband is left and he's their father does not mean he can take care of their finances.
Wow. Okay. So pretty much when you do a, so that will be part of like maybe the trust, like the money that's from the that life insurance has to be like directed to the trust of the child. That's why we create a trust so that we don't have to deal with all that in between.
Young to have it all in order, because I thought 45 was way too young.
Yeah, super young. So it's, see that, yeah, I am mind blown right now because the things that we the you know what I think is because growing up, like for me, growing up, I didn't know anything about like financial literacy. Like we weren't taught all that. And I think and in schools, they don't provide that. They don't give financial literacy. So those classes are very important and people need to know about all this. But we're not taught. We're not taught. And me as a Latina, like, you know, the Hispanics don't talk about money at all. It's not happening, you know. I would never know anything what was going on like with the money for my parents, like nothing. So that's something my husband and I now have to change in our family, in our home with our children, that they need to know what's going on because we got to teach them. Because then we don't want them to grow up and be in the same situation I'm in right now with my parents. So I don't want that for them. So the only way is if we get all this stuff in order.
Yep. I wish that finances were taught, but then I wish that estate planning was taught because they're equally just as
Yes.
you can have all the wealth in the world, but if your estate isn't in order when you pass away, it's complete chaos. So having all those may not go to who you thought it was going to go to in the first place. Because I'm sure my husband would have been thinking that, you know, everything he owned is mine. That's not how it went down. Not how it went.
Wow.
Even though my son was, again, I was shocked because my son was a minor and I thought everything went to me and it was going to be cut and dry, but it wasn't.
And yeah, and that's the thing when, like, for example, I've always thought, like, in my head, like, well, we're married, we get everything, you know, like, well, it's all both of ours, you know, because we're married. That's why, you know, they push the paper so much because they're like, well, if you have the papers, you own all of it too, you know? But then these kind of situations happen and it's a surprise. No, it's not.
And that, you know, like one of my videos also talks about, you know, making sure that because on our home, I wasn't on the loan, but he had a survivorship on a deed. That way that the loan became mine right after he passed away. But ironically, I am not a authorized speaker on the account. So the mortgage company will not talk to me even to this day. I have to go through like all of these steps in order to get the mortgage company to speak to me. And when I called them, I was like, well, you know, you take my payments with my signature on it, so why can't you speak to me? And they're like, well,
Yeah.
you're not on this account. And I'm like, okay, well, maybe you shouldn't be authorized to sign the check then. But they were like, you got to send in this death certificate, you got to send in your marriage certificate, you got to send in all these other things. And I just got ticked off. And I was like, you know what? I have 100 things to do. And sending you all this is not one of them. I'll just keep sending you the checks and just call it a day. And I still do that to this day. Like they won't talk to me on the phone, so if I have an issue, I'll have to do all that. But
So what would
so
happen if, you know, you pay off the home already and the mortgage, then would that become yours or you have to pay like a specific amount, say, and like sign it over to you?
deed is in my name, but the loan is not. When the house gets paid off, the deed is already what was important.
Okay, got it. So the deed is the most important part of it at the moment.
That's why I just tell everybody, like, make sure that you're authorized to speak to them on the behalf of your husband or your spouse or whatever. But ultimately, the deed is what matters, unless you default on the loan and things like that. My lawyer,
Okay.
my mortgage company has the right to force me to refinance when they find out that he passed away, which is another reason why I have avoided telling them. I don't advise that to anyone. Like, when they that is probably not the best decision I have ever made in my life, but and hopefully it doesn't come back to bite me in the butt. But I don't want them to make me refinance
Yeah, that'll be crazy.
but my lawyer said they have the right to because they want the loan to be in the surviving spouse's name, and so I and then but legally I don't.
Yeah. Oh, man.
But
That
you know,
is so crazy.
but when you go to probate, it's the deeds that are probated. It's not the loans.
Okay.
And you lose your house. There's nothing that you can do. You don't have a leg to stand on because it wasn't your house.
Oh wow. The process. This process is rough. For example, for me, I'm dealing with the guardianship with my mom. It's been all over the place because we had to our lawyers had to split the bank account, for example, with my mom and my dad. We had to split it, so now it has to be all just hers. So whatever she gets with Social Security, then we had to handle that separate. It's just a mess. And my dad's like, I shouldn't have done this. I'm like, it's your fault.
Another thing, so people tell you don't tell your bank that your spouse has passed away, but they have different avenues of finding out that somebody has passed away. So when they die, there's a bunch of phone calls that get made all throughout your county. And so, like, sometimes if you live in a county like I do where they take your person off the voting registry, then that'll take an action. And then that's how the banks are notified. So the assets are frozen immediately once the bank finds out. They may not find out, within a day or two, but once they find out that those assets are frozen, which is why your lawyer's telling you to split up those accounts, because that day that they find out, it's going to be frozen and you and your dad can't get in it. And so then you have the beneficiary on the account, which means that you can get it, but you have to have all the paperwork stating that you are now ahead of her assets and things like that before they can say, okay, yeah, you have these funds. Different banks, different states all have different rules, but after when you go to probate, they give you the executor of the state paperwork, and then that's what you take to the banks showing, I'm the executor of a state, let's take care of her bank account. Or some banks just make you say, okay, here's your ID and you're the beneficiary, and they give you the money. So it just kind of depends on what your bank in your state requires. Some have hoops.
Yeah, it's been a roller coaster on this side too. That's how I was like, I tell everyone when that I talk to, I'm like, make sure your parents' stuff are in order because you don't want to go through what I've been going through. And this is even before the whole mess. And I'm like, that's why. Yeah, I think that's why I was like, this is important for people to know because. And you never know. You never know what could happen. One day you're here, the next day you're not here anymore. We see it all the time now.
Biggest tip for anybody is make sure that you don't leave anything to a minor without having a lawyer tell you the right way to do it, whether it's in a trust or what it is. And then have a will or a trust with your state in order, and then make sure that you update it regularly with your assets. So, like, after my husband passed away, I'm now doing a trust, but then every time I buy a new asset, I have to go back and do the trust. I have to keep adding. Because if I was to pass away tomorrow and that asset isn't in the trust, then my son would have to go to probate over that one or two assets that weren't added.
Okay. All right. So now that's what my lawyers were saying about my dad's house, for example. Like if he passes, he needs to like a trust or something because then we had to deal with probate and all that stuff. And then that's gonna be a bigger mess for us. So we haven't done that yet.
A will is always probated. Even if they have a will, you still have to go through probate. It makes it easier because the will tells them what they want, so the judge doesn't have to decide everything, but you still have to wait for the process. In a trust, you don't have that process. It just transfers.
Okay, so that's good to know. Yeah, I'll be looking into all that this week. I'll be like, Dad, here you go, Dad. We gotta do a lot of things right now. He's gonna be like, oh, great. But who else will be there for him? So they're older, so they don't know all about this. So it's something we're educating them as well. And but for those that are listening to this, if you have elderly parents, if if you're married or things like that, get your things together, because we never know, we never know. And yeah, so that's why it's a short episode, but I know with just this, I know somebody is listening that is learning, and also I know I wanted to ask you about your book. I just saw that you had a book. It's called At the Right Time.
So, my husband passed away. I started to write down the memories and stuff, and then after down some of the memories, I felt like God was telling me to tell his story and tell our story. So I was like, okay, so I did. And then when I sent it off to publishers and stuff like that, they were like, well, I think that this story would be better as a self-help. And I was like, oh, I don't know about that. So we did end up going with the self-help. So it's my husband and I story in the beginning. And then afterwards, if you need to heal from your journey or your life or anything that's happened in your past, there's a little key back that you can go on and try to heal from your past. Because him and I had a really, really rough upbringing, which is why we had the amazing marriage that we did, because we knew what was important in life and what wasn't. And so it was healing for me to be able to tell our story.
That's beautiful. Oh man, I already have it in my cart. I decided I was like, oh, I'm gonna put it on my cart. So that I could get it, and I'll link your because you have it on Amazon, and where else do you have it at?
Website with books by NikkiScott.com.
Okay.
And one more thing.
Scott.
Life insurance is make sure you have enough life insurance to get your spouse by because that's also one of those things like, oh, we have life insurance, there's work, and we'll get more later. And we never got the more later, so I had to go back to work really quickly because it wasn't enough staying me being off work and taking care of our son. So I'm a big advocate on the wills and the trust and the estates in order, but make sure that you have enough life insurance to sustain your spouse for
Yes.
time, give her time or
Yes. I'm definitely a big advocate on life insurance too. I've always said I'm not gonna trust the one for my job because I could lose my job in a second and then there's no life insurance. And but that also happened to us like 6 months before my daughter's cancer diagnosis. Like I had the urge, like I didn't have life insurance for my daughter or my son. Because I think I'm a big advocate also on children to have their life insurance because you never know, right? And 6 months before I had that urge, like God, I know it was God, just like you got to get life insurance. And I told my husband, I was like, babe, we need life insurance for the kids, like now, right? And he was like, okay, fine, just go and tell your friend to get it done, for you. And I had her over, we got it done. And 6 months later, my daughter was diagnosed with cancer. And it was like, that was God right there. That was totally God just telling us like it was time.
I got life insurance on my son after my husband passed because I was like, holy moly, like what happened? And then he doesn't have a diagnosis yet, but he fell ill 6 months after my husband passed. And we actually go to Washington, D.C. next month to see this world-renowned specialist. But he had 25% of his colon removed and he's got a tube put in his belly button and it's like this huge thing. But now he's not eligible for life insurance for the rest of his life because of his condition. Yeah.
But
And so
did he get the life insurance before that? Before he got diagnosed?
got it on him, but, and I get a one-time raise at the age of 18. But if I wouldn't have got that on him, the only thing that he would have ever been eligible for is like a job that provides life insurance with no questions asked.
You see, it's so crazy, right?
Would never think that a 14, well, he was 12 at the time, but a 12-year-old needs life insurance, but you don't know what's going to happen to them that makes them ineligible to get that life insurance.
Yes, and my daughter was only six.
Oh my gosh. Wow. I'm so glad. What a blessing.
So that's why I was like, oh my goodness. Like 6 months later, I called my friend I mean, when that happened, I called my friend right away because she's the one that, helped me with her life insurance. And she was shook and like, she was like, what? And I'm like, that was God right there that was working right there. Like, it was just him that he worked it all. He planned it everything out. It's just amazing, like, how he worked everything out. And that was one of the things that and when I tell people, they're like, oh my goodness. I'm not kidding. You need the life insurance. I tell all my friends that all the time. I'd rather pay now because you never know. I'm like, if we have car insurance, if we have home insurance, what's so hard about paying for life insurance? It doesn't make sense.
Make sure that your name is on everything. That's important. That way that you don't have to regain anything. It's already yours too. But I know a lot of times they're like, oh, well, my husband's going to take care of it. Well, you both should own it if possible.
So, and anything else you would like to add before we close it up to our listeners? Anybody that is going through this right now or they are grieving, any words of encouragement or any words of wisdom or anything that you've learned?
For anybody that's going through grief right now, it's definitely baby steps. And if you don't know what that next step is, standing still is okay. Just don't go backwards. And then having the attitude of gratitude, I know it sounds so stupid, but that attitude really, really when you do that, because you're thinking about the good times and the good memories versus the shoulda, coulda, wouldas and going. Why aren't they here? Why can't they do this? If you just think about the memories and have that attitude of gratitude, it's going to help a lot. You're going to have those thoughts and you're going to have those moments, but baby steps. And give yourself grace. You're going to have good days, you're going to have bad days, and on the bad days, you're going to need that grace. But on the good stuff, on the good days, give yourself permission to have a good day. And then my husband used to tell me all the time, he was like, if something happens to me, I want you to continue to live because I want you to live for me and carry on my legacy. And so it's very important. I mean, it took me a long time to get here, hence the videos being almost 3 years later, because I went to a really bad place for a little while. And even now, sometimes I tell my son, I'm like, we are going to sell everything and we are just going to get an RV and go across country. He's like, Mom, you're just having a day. Like, I am having a day, and today's the day we're gonna sell it all. Don't be rash, just take it day by day and give yourself grace, because I didn't give myself enough grace in the beginning. It was put on your big girl panties and get back to work because you had to. And then about 6 months later, grief really punched me in the gut, and it took some time to get over. And anger, I was very angry for a while. You just have to go through all of those stages, and different stages last different timelines because you've got to feel it before you can move past it. Eventually, the memories will sustain you, the good times. And thankfully, we had enough love, I say, to last me a lifetime, because, like I said, our past taught us to love with intention, and we live with intention every single day of our marriage. So, we had 14 years of living intentionally.
14 years, wow.
So it was amazing. And so I feel like he loved me enough for my lifetime. I try to live now to, because he used to always say, be proud of where you are, and I try to make sure I make him proud of where I am. He wouldn't be proud if I was still moping in bed and nothing. I'm
That's
sure he's
true.
tours and podcasts and things like that, because he did used to tell me, because being a barber, we used to go to these big conventions. I actually have one that we're getting ready to go to, and he's like, I can see you up on that stage, and you're going to be teaching, and you're going to be training these people. And little does he know that that teaching and stuff that he prophesied back then is our past, and telling widows what not to do or what to do with that platform. So little did he know what he prophesied then is it's happening now, but it's just not in the era that we thought it was going to be.
Yeah, and sometimes God has other plans, right? And what we thought we weren't gonna be speaking about, we're speaking about. You know, like they would tell me, like I would tell my husband all the time, I'm like, I'm not a speaker. I don't do no public speaking. I don't do all that. And I would always say, like, I dropped speech class, like public speaking class in college twice because I did not want to do it. I was like, can I avoid this? How can I get my degree without it? And little did I know, like, I've been invited to different places after my daughter's cancer diagnosis to speak about it, like, and bring awareness and even this, you know what I'm saying? And it's like, I didn't think I was going to speak about this. Like, who would have thought? But God knew that way before.
Would have much rather been teaching you how to cut men's hair than teaching you how the things you need to know as a widow.
Exactly, right?
Platform God gave me, I guess.
Yep. And now you're just going to continue to share your story and bring awareness to a lot of women and men, you know, and people that have lost and grieved. And because there are so many people out there that need you now to be there for them. And while you're giving them that hope, that's also like supporting you and keeping you lifted up as well.
I just, the only thing that's guaranteed in this life is you pay taxes, you live, you die. So everybody needs everybody. We're all going to
Yes.
go through it. Just everybody would come back together versus be so divided.
Yeah, we have to lean on each other, definitely, and be there and support each other. And, you know, that's why I was like, I know somebody in this community is definitely going to learn, and they're gonna be I know they're gonna need it. I know it for a fact. I know there's a listener out there that is really, and I'm gonna hear it, and I know I'm gonna receive messages on this one, because somebody somewhere right now is going through a process, and I don't know, I feel it right now that somebody's out there that's listening to that will be listening to this podcast when it airs and will need it at this moment. So whoever you are, don't give up hope. Press on. And yeah, that's why I was like, I don't know. I felt like saying that, and God knows why. But yeah, so thank you so much, Nikki. Definitely thank you so much for coming on the podcast, on this podcast. I will be adding all the links to where she can be found. I know you're on Instagram. Are you also on TikTok?
Not on TikTok, I'm on Facebook.
So okay, Facebook and Instagram. Okay.
I have a YouTube for the book that's called At the Right Time Book on YouTube. And each chapter has a video that goes with it so that you can live in the moment with us. Yeah. So I'm a,
Oh.
so I was like, well, you know, not only that, but people can see that we were real people and, you know, this is real life and this was real stuff. So,
Okay.
I've started adding a few of my series I started adding on YouTube, but I haven't got them all over. So YouTube,
Okay.
TikTok, and Facebook.
Okay.
And I everything myself, so if I don't get back to you right away, I promise I will.
Okay. All right, great. Yeah, so I'll definitely put all that on the show notes here, so you can be able to link, click on those links and follow her and also support her by getting that book as well. Yeah, so Of course, I'm going to continue following you and seeing your story and learning more on all those videos that have helped me as well. So thank you so much once again. And until next time, until the next episode, I'll see you then. Bye.
Are you a fan of A Dose of Reality Show? If so, I'm here to tell you that A Dose of Reality Show has their own merch shop available now. The link is in the show notes, but if you can't wait, the website is www.adoseofrealityshow.com and click on the store tab and you will find not only our own merch there, but t-shirts and mugs for podcasters and podcast enthusiasts. Tell your friends and family all about it. You can tag us on social media with your merch on Facebook and Instagram at A Dose of Reality Show. Thank you for all your support. Thank you all for joining me on this amazing journey with my show, A Dose of Reality Show. I'm so excited to hang out with you every Wednesday to share stories of hope, strength, and bring awareness along the way. You can also tag me on social media and tell me how these stories have helped you along the way. It's on Instagram and Facebook at A Dose of Reality Show. In the meantime, please subscribe to my podcast channel and leave a review. I'd love for you to be part of these stories, and I will see you next week for another episode of A Dose of Reality Show. Bye!